You're listening to the Sound Girls Podcast with Becky and Willa.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody, to the Sound Girls Podcast. This episode features an interview with Jess Fenton, a freelance audio mix engineer who specializes in music and podcast productions. You can find us on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and on our website, soundgirls.org. Welcome, Jess.
Hey, Jess. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure to be here.
Jess is in Brooklyn, New York.
I am.
How are things in Brooklyn right now?
They're okay. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't leave my apartment. I live in fear of the coronavirus. There's a bunch of youngins in my building who don't wear masks. So I just don't go outside. People are acting like there's no pandemic.
Really?
We're in phase three, technically, as of today, whatever that means. So, you know, everyone's like, whoa, we're done. Let's just be regular humans. And I'm like, whoa. Not ready for that. I had it back in February. I don't want to do it again. So, but other than that, it's great.
Right? How is business in studios and stuff up in New York? Have you guys been completely shut down and all that? Or are you doing some social distancing studio things?
I would say there's just a lot of isolation. I mean, I've just been working from home out of my home studio since the beginning of this, back in March. So I don't really know. I don't really know how the others are faring. I don't see a lot of activity, like, online with the people that I follow studio-wise. But I'm just doing my own thing in my own studio, working remote.
Well, that's
if that answers your question.
Yeah, totally. I was going to say that doing your own thing in your own studio, I mean, I feel like a lot of people have tried to become you in the last few months. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, everybody now is in the studio recording and all these kind of things. Does that kind of bother you a little bit? Because you've spent years perfecting your craft, so to speak, and you're in the studio doing this 20 hours a day. And then along comes Joe Schmo, who doesn't really know, like, all these little details you do. And they're like, oh, we're going to produce this and we're putting that out. And it sounds like booty.
You know, if Joe Schmo asks for help, then no, it doesn't bother me. Like, yeah, people are realizing that this is not just some easy peasy little job. Audio is not easy, and now the world is kind of depending on it as far as podcast goes and remote, you know, meetings and being able to hear people and that kind of thing. So no, it doesn't really bother me, but I appreciate when those people realize that it's harder than it looks. Yeah. And then even better when they ask to have a consultant call to learn. I've definitely gotten some of those throughout pandemic. Like, can I just pick your brain for an hour? I'll pay you. Just tell me what to do. I'm like, of course.
Oh, they offer to pay you? What? I'm doing something wrong. I'm getting the same question. They don't offer to pay me.
Oh, you can totally charge for your knowledge. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Good tip.
You just have to, like, wiggle it into the conversation, you know?
So, like, for example, like, so someone who I haven't spoken to since high school, out of the blue, they want to know my opinion on headphones. Would I say, oh, you know, I normally charge, like, $50 for a consultation fee or something? Is that...
Well, even slyer than that. Like, well, okay, I have an opening. I have clients who booked me for all of Thursday and Friday, but I have an opening in the afternoon. I could hold that spot for you if you can, you know, what's your budget? That kind of thing.
Oh.
You know, just to kind of imply, like, yeah, people are paying me for this knowledge, as you should. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's how it's worked for me. I mean, or you can just do it for free, for goodwill.
Yeah.
For certain people, I'll do it for free. Like, people who I know are, like, my friends, but that one random person that hasn't spoken to me in, like, forever.
No.
Like, that's always a little uncomfortable.
They're taking your time. Your time is the most valuable thing we have on Earth, right, is our time. So you have to charge for it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do that as well. Like, my company, we do consultations anyway, you know, but we pivoted to online. So now we have a scheduler on there. They can go in and schedule a discovery call or a training call or whatever. And it's split up into payments and all that kind of stuff. So they have to pay before I even get scheduled.
Nice. Yeah, I love that. I love it.
it's we've spent years perfecting our craft and all of our knowledge. And I think, you know, like you said, unless you want to be able to give it away for free, I think, yeah, there are definitely people that need to learn how to do it, but they need to also learn the importance of your knowledge, you know, and I think that's worth your time. And yeah, awesome.
And I think just that conversation too will help kind of raise the bar for understanding that we have what is considered a real job. We actually do have one of those, and helping to kind of bring that understanding to the world that the arts is way more important than you thought. So, you know, that, so, and it's great freelancer tip. Great. You know, anyway,
absolutely.
My Mac just went to sleep. I don't know if that means Pro Tools is still recording. It's a brand new MacBook. My bad.
No worries. It happens.
It is recording. God, that would be the thing I would mess up. Like, the audio would be here. Like, oh, I stopped my audio. Didn't bother to look. Now, okay, we're good. It's still going.
I feel like this whole world, that's how that's happened to me, too. I'm like, you know, I call myself an audio engineer, but now we're doing podcasting. I don't know if that's a thing. Like, I don't know if I really know what the hell I'm doing now. I might need some time to consult with Jess.
Well, you know, she's got an opening between 2 and 4 on Saturday.
Right, there we go. So you have, you're doing all that in the studio. What are you working on right now? Are you working on someone's specifics album, something you can talk about, or are you working
right
on podcast-y things?
I'm working on, I guess the one I could talk about.
I just put you right on the spot.
It's tricky because, like, when you work with a digital marketing agency, you can't really talk about the clients that you're doing work for. But there's that, which is podcasting. But the one that I can talk about is I'm doing a podcast called I Am Bio, which is a biotech trade organization, and they have this whole COVID series where they basically talk to a bunch of scientists and people in lab coats who are working to find a vaccine or therapies or treatment for COVID. And so it's been really fun, and it's been a privilege to get to listen to these scientists talk about this kind of work in such a crazy time. Like, I feel like I'm getting this inside knowledge before it actually hits the mainstream media. Like, we interviewed Stephen Boncel of Moderna, who's working on a vaccine right now. They have trials in Seattle, and we did that podcast like in April, and it's just now like hitting the news, like, oh yeah, we're making progress. And so, and by the way, that guy was one of the only, ooh, I don't know if I can say this, he was very respectful of me. He was basically one of the only guys that we interviewed that stopped and said, oh, hi Jess, how are you? You know,
nobody else has done that. Simple thing.
I'm like, oh, this guy just called me out on the call, like, I'm great, thank you. It means a lot. But yeah, that's what I'm working on. I also do audio ads for the Wall Street Journal, which is one of the weirder gigs that I have. Yeah. So they'll send me scripts for like Fidelity. And so I'm that person that reads the ads. Like,
oh, that's cool.
I can't even like give you an example because I'll sound like a moron, but
like, I want to hear one.
I was going to say, I DJed for a while. Do it. You do sound like a moron. Go for it.
Yeah. No. Well, They're running their live Wall Street Journal podcast if you want to check them out. But so that's, I'm doing that. And then local artists who need help recording. It's hard that I haven't been able to work with artists like I like to, because I prefer to do it in person. Mm-hmm. I don't like the remote format, because when you're in, you know, like if you're working on someone's song and you're going through guitar tones to kind of like find the vibe, for example, it's like, I need that person right there in the moment. I need to see them react to this tone versus that tone. And you just can't really do that remotely. You know, it's like, here's version A, here's version B. Like, which tone do you like? And they're like, I don't know, you tell me. So it's like, you know, there hasn't been a lot of that, which is unfortunate. That's my favorite thing to do. Of course, that's like the holy grail for all, you know, engineers who want to work in music, is working with artists.
Right.
But
to be able to collaborate with the artist and have that creative moment. And it's kind of lost on a Zoom call.
Yeah, it is. So I haven't been doing much of that, because I feel like I'm just not going to do as good a job as I would want to. Like, I feel like it would be a disservice for them. Doesn't mean other people can't pull it off.
Right.
And I definitely will recommend other producers and engineers. Like, this person might be able to do it better. So, but yeah, I mean, every week's different, but it's a lot of podcasts, basically.
Yeah. Because everyone's podcasting.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So, they sure are.
It's it's kind of crazy. There's like one coming out every day or more.
Mm-hmm. Every hour. Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the stats are. They've got to be huge. Like, yeah. How many podcasts have launched during COVID?
I love it, though. I think it's so fun. It's this innovative moment that all these people are just thinking that they have something to say.
Yeah.
And maybe they do. You know, like, you're connecting with people in ways that you probably wouldn't if this pandemic hadn't happened. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I can say, honestly, it's probably the most networking I've done in years.
Oh, you know? Funny.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
While in isolation, it's like such a contradiction. I mean, even my girlfriend was like, should we start a podcast? I'm like, what? You want to start a podcast? She's like, well, we have a studio in the apartment. I'm like, okay.
Why not?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, this podcast would not happen for us anyway. For Susan and I think I can speak on her behalf because we've had these conversations a lot. Like, we wouldn't have done this if it wasn't a pandemic going on. There's no way. Mm. Like, because we had talked about it for over a year easily.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We had done like an expo, a Sound Girls Expo in Orlando, and we did an open mic kind of forum question and answer discussions. And we were supposed to do it for an hour. It ended up going on for like 2.5 hours. And we were laughing and had a good time and some real good discussion. And everybody after that was like, the two of you should start a podcast. And I was like, no way, dude. I'm not doing that.
But here we are.
Welcome to COVID podcasting.
Yeah. Sweet.
So, like, now I'm excited about it, though, you know, and now I'm listening to even more podcasts than I listened to before.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm totally hooked on, like, Brene Brown's podcast right now. I don't know why, but, like,
Why not?
Right. I'm just stuck on that woman's podcast. Right. It's like in my car. It's everywhere I go. I'm like, okay, well, who's she talking to now? What's she doing now? Yeah.
Yeah. She got you.
She did. She sucked me in. So I'm like, all right, I'm sure I'll be on to another one eventually. So in the Sound Girls article that was written about you, you had mentioned that you have to prove yourself as being the only woman in the room sometimes. How do you go about doing that? Like, can you maybe talk for some of the younger people in the room or in the listening to the podcast, like, who haven't been in that situation yet or are finding themselves in that situation newly? Like, how do you know,
it mostly happens when I'm in the room with a bunch of older white men. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a fact. And so usually what happens is I do a lot of, or at least I did before the pandemic, was remote podcast recording, to where I would take my rig, set it up in like a hotel room or a conference room or whatever, wherever we were. And then the host and the guests would come in and the guests would say something to me like, oh, can you get me a water? Or do you know when the engineer is going to get here? Or, you know, and I'm like, I'll get you a water. Yeah.
Wow.
But here's the thing is what I like to do with these guys. And this is going to sound really dramatic, but I swear it works. I usually have glasses on, but I look at them and I get really quiet and I take off my glasses and I look at them and I say, I am the audio engineer. And then I say nothing else.
And then a fan just hits you and your hair blows back and then the horns fill the room.
My ear reveals itself. Yeah. How did you know? You've done it too. I just tell them I'm the audio engineer and then I say nothing. And then it puts it on them to say something. And they usually apologize, like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, oh no, it's cool, let me go get your water. Like, I just force a moment. It sounds weird, but it works. Like, with these guys, it is a power move. You just kinda have to like snap them out of it and I am stone cold when I do it. And I make them feel really awkward. Their manhood shrinks a little bit. And then we're fine. And then we're totally cool. And I'm like, all right, let me get you set up. Here's the mic. Here are your headphones. Can you hear everything? Da, 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 da. And we're cool after that. So I just put them in their place in a very passive / not passive way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And but you know, you got to be professional, and then you got to back it up with good work. Of course, you know, right. You can't pull those moves if you can't back it up.
Yeah, very polite yet firm, and just being very straightforward and confident in. Yeah. I am your audio engineer. Yeah. How can I help you?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, if I had a day rate for every time someone asked me where the boss was or where the audio engineer was, I'd be a
goodbye your
billionaire.
Own private island. Yeah. Oh yeah,
you'd have like the best studio ever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd have more gear than I could truck.
But I think, you know, the trick is to expect it, to know that it's going to happen, and then be prepared for it, and practice it. You know, practice your response, your Wonder Woman stance, whatever.
Do you feel like? Yeah, it will happen. Do you feel like there's a whole nother layer of that on to being a gay woman in the industry and still trying to break you? Yeah.
Oh, my God. That makes it confusing for people because, you know, I don't dress. I'm not showing up in heels, you know.
Yeah, right.
Showing up in my sweet ass Nikes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever I can get away with. You know, that's still professional, but like, you know, button down shirt. It's like you can look at me and obviously know I'm super gay. So that adds this dynamic, especially in those moments when you silence the men and they just kind of look at you like, I don't know how to process this moment. Like, you just shut me down. And also, you're very gay. Like, I mean,
I'm laughing because it just sounds so ridiculous, you know, like that people still act this way. But it's.
Yeah, you can just see the discomfort wash over them. And then, like, you know, you let them sit in their shit for a little bit. And then you're like, oh, it's cool. It's cool. I got you. You know, like, it does add a layer of complexity because they're like, well, I'm not attracted to you. I can't hit on you. Like, you're not into me. You're not into me. And that's making me feel insecure. Why do you like women and not men? Because, you know, men take it so personally that women like other women, you know, it's like, it's a hit to their egos.
Yeah. It's a territorial thing a lot too.
It's so strange. Cause it's like, dude, this has nothing to do with you.
That is the problem that it has nothing to do with them and they want it to do with them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it does add this weird layer of complexity that I guess, I don't know if I figured it out or not. I just kind of roll with it. I also just don't give a shit what they're thinking as long as I'm doing a good job and making them sound good at what, you know, if we're in the studio making albums or if we're recording a podcast, you know?
Yeah. So is that part of what made you start doing the whole Serious Proof in music? Was just to get more women recognized and more people of diversity and inclusivity?
Yes, it literally is my answer to this debate that won't go away of, you know, well, where are all the women producers and why don't you see more women behind the boards? Like, well, they're not behind the boards because they're just not interested in this kind of work. You know, there's all these weird justifications and reasonings out there when it comes to this topic. And my whole thing is
too hard to have a family or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. My whole thing is like, none of that is true. Here's proof. Here's 12, well, technically 13 women in 9 different cities at various stages in their careers, killing it. They're killing it. They're bringing musical expressions to life every single day for other artists and people. So, no, it's not that there aren't women out there. They are out there. You're just not looking for them. So, yeah, that is why I made the series. It's like, nah, you got it all backwards. Like, here they are. Here's proof. Like, what more could you need? Like, literally, here's them talking about what they do, and then here's them literally doing it. And that's why I have 2 portions. I have the interview and then the in-studio. So it's not like they're just talking about it. It's like, oh, and here they are actually breaking down a mix or mastering a song or producing a song, you know? So, yeah.
Jess, that series Proof in Music, I'm gonna binge watch the rest of it today. I'm not even kidding. I watched 3 episodes and I was like, I gotta get off here so I can come interview you. But like, I hadn't dove into it yet, and now that I've just even touched the surface of it, like, oh my god, keep doing it, please. It is possibly the best produced thing I've seen in a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow. Wow, thank you.
It reminds me a lot of like HG show, like a Home and Garden kind of deal, like when you're, you know, the yeah. way you do the interviews and you break down what people are doing, like how they do the DIY, you know, do-it-yourself projects and all that, like, and then do the interview on the side and then show you how they build something. It's exactly, like, that's kind of what it reminded me of, and I'm a little bit of an HGTV junkie. Especially, like, when we were on tour, that's what we all watch on the bus. It's something we all can agree on. So it just kind of reminds me, like, of something like that. You know, I'm totally into it. But it spoke to my heart and my soul, and I just wanted to tell you thank you so much for doing it. I love it. I'm going to binge watch the rest today and just nerd out. Oh, my gosh.
I would love that. I would love to know that somebody out there is binge watching and nerding out over it. That makes me so happy. You have no idea.
And, like, what I love about it is that you don't ask the same questions that we as women get asked all the time. Like, what is it like being a woman? Can you explain your experience as a woman? And it's like, okay, those are important to talk about. But also, can we talk about the thing I'm making?
The work.
Because look at this thing I'm making. Look how cool it is. And you find a way to draw out that passion with your questions with each of the people that you encounter. And just the excitement that and passion and drive that we have for our craft and for the recordings that we make and the interactions that we have with our clients. And here's how I get this one really weird sound. Do you want to see how I do it? Let me show you. And it's just,
exactly.
It's fun and engaging. And there's just, it's such a fresh look into our world that isn't shown, because we keep getting put in that box of here's our struggle, which yes, right. we need to talk about that, but also let's talk about why we do the struggle, which is this amazing thing that I'm working on with this one really weird noise that I made out of like a garbage can and a broken mic and a deranged preamp. So, like, exactly. And that's the beauty of it.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I got really lucky with this cast of characters. They're all so different. They all, what I noticed after, I guess, I finished filming and started editing together the episodes, was that there was such an emotional component to almost all of them. You know, all of the women were willing to talk about some of the lessons that they had learned. They weren't afraid to say, like, oh, yeah, I totally messed that up, and then I learned. You know, and they're just, there's so much obvious love behind what they do. I feel like I haven't found a series, and I'll say it, I haven't found a series featuring men that goes to that place.
Right, yeah.
Of just, like, pure love and passion and this, like, nurturing. You know, so it's like I would love for people to pick up on that and just imagine bringing that energy into the making of your project or your album. Like, imagine having somebody nurture the shit out of your guitar tone, or like, you know, to change the whole vibe of a studio just to make you comfortable. You know, like like Austin's studio, like the backsplash in the bathroom intentionally matches the color scheme of the curtains. That was intentional, as Ashley said, because they're thinking of the details of, we want you to feel super comfortable and creative, and we're not judging you, and we're going to cuddle the shit out of you if that's what you want, and we're going to make something beautiful. I just have never experienced that in my own experiences growing up, since I was a teenager, recording in studios. So it's a common theme that I found amongst all of them, which I think is really
cool. And then that's also awesome. Just having that conversation around failure and embracing that failure and learning from it. That just in general, like the dialogue around failure is one of avoid failure at all costs, right, instead of embrace failure because something cool could come out of it or you could learn from it. And it is okay to fail.
And then talk about it.
Yes. Yeah. Talk about it.
State like, oh yeah, I totally messed that up, but here I am, you know?
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that you're going from having the discussion to actually showing, like, that to me is huge. Like, in just having someone show who I am on film, you know, like why Ava DuVernay is such an amazing, you know, person. She's showing a side that hasn't been shown, you know, and I feel like you're doing that for, you know, our industry and who we are in the industry. We haven't seen much except, you know, like you said, the white male counterparts that don't believe, you know, what are you doing here? You know, and some that do, where they're like, oh yeah, you know, I think they're going to get behind this as well and help be allies for us. So where can people find that? Is it just on YouTube, or you have it other places as well?
I have the series on, first you can go to proofinmusic.com, which is basically just YouTube embedded videos. You'll find every episode there, but it's also on IGTV,
awesome,
on Instagram and Facebook. So I'm trying to hit all the platforms, and it's really interesting to see like which episodes resonate the most on which platform. You know, YouTube, you know, for some people it's like they have this pretty good number of views so far, and then nothing on Instagram. But then like another person will have this huge Instagram count, if you will, of views, and then nothing on Facebook. So it's because I have all these varying ages too, which is, you know, it kind of shows up in the platform that ends up working the best for them. But so it's basically it's those three.
I love that. We were talking to the Ethel Gabriel folks, you know, how they're kind of spearheading writing in women into Wikipedia and all that stuff that we're doing, you know, like background stuff where there have been women in the industry. We just haven't been recorded or put in, you know, to the history of all that. Yeah, I know. It's maddening.
What
absolutely
the hell? What the hell?
Maddening. And so we're having to go back and put history in place, you know. But the fact that people nowadays, like yourself, are creating history for the future is what thrills my soul. You know, like, we're not just going to talk about it like what happened 20 years ago. We're going to put something into action so that those that follow us don't feel the way we did. Does that make sense? And
yeah.
I totally resonated with that, just reading why you did it and what your inspiration behind Proof of Music was all about. And, you went on the ELQ directory, right? EQL. I always say
that. I did.
I always say, I always like put the letters back. I can't, I have so many acronyms in my head. Some just don't come out right anymore.
Yeah. So what's funny is when I started this project, this was a couple of years ago, that directory didn't exist yet. And I was painstakingly going through, SoundGirls had this embedded this kind of Excel spreadsheet type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going through that, like sorting and filtering and picking out names to reach out to. And then by the time I ended up finishing the project, there were not only one database, but two, you know, the EQL or Equal Directory or Make It Equal.
Yep.
And then the She Is the Music database is a whole other thing, right?
Yep.
So just in the time frame that it took me to make the series, there's been all this progress. But yes, I did use the Equal Directory to find a good portion of the women in the series. It was not hard.
I was going to say, and that was my next question. You said in the article, you were like, it wasn't hard. Like, if people are looking for women in this industry, you can find us anywhere.
Look, let me tell you, I searched like hashtags on Instagram, like female engineer. And then I found Lauren Evans, who her episode hasn't aired yet, but that's where I found Lauren. I searched on soundbetter.com. And I found Janae, who's my Washington, D.C. girl. And then the Equal Directory, like where I found Angel. And then I think I had some recommendations from even like this music biz besties, like is this like Facebook group that I was a part of. Like, oh, you should talk to Raylan Janicki. And then Raylan was like, oh, you should interview Mackenzie Spear. So it was the people were identified fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And plus, and just posting on the like SoundGirls private group too. It was like, hey, anybody want to do that? Boom, boom, boom. Awesome. Let's do it. So it was not hard at all to find people. I mean, I probably reached out to probably 50 different people just to narrow it down to the 13 that I have. So all those 50 people too exist and are doing work regularly. I mean, the whole database is huge. Both databases.
Do you think you're going to do a part two?
I would love to.
I just put you right on the spot.
I would love to do another season, and I would love to take it up a notch to where I have like an actual crew to do it, to help me, you know, someone who just does lighting, someone who just does audio, someone who just does cameras, because doing it with me and like a random assistant was really difficult. So I would love to do it, and I would love to just take it up a notch.
That would be awesome. However, we can help you, let us know.
Okay.
So I'll have some.
Yeah.
I have some. Sorry, go ahead. A weird random question for you, just because. Are you still with your band? Do you still play?
No, I definitely still play, but I'm not active in any bands at the moment. Sadly,
what do you play?
I wish I was. I play guitar.
Oh, right on.
Dude, you got to go on SoundCloud and listen to Jess's stuff. It's really good.
Oh, sweet. What's your SoundCloud handle?
I mean, it depends on which band we're talking about, but I do have like a singer-songwriter-y, like Jay Lima Foxtrot was just my silly little alias. I'm not sure if that's what you stumbled upon.
That's the one I stumbled upon.
That's the one?
It was super fun. I was like, okay, I can get into this.
Cool.
I walked around last night listening to it. So I was like, that was super fun.
Thank you. I would like to do some more music just for fun. If I could just take a month out of life and just do it. Because, you know, that's what started all of this. This whole thing was just started with me in a four track in a basement, recording instruments, writing songs, you know, and that's at the end of the day, that's what I love the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you just figure that out over time? Like that you just loved being in studio and mixing songs down and the creative portion of all that?
I mean, I think I figured it out when I was 15 and I got a four track and that's all I did, like in the basement of my parents' house. I mean, it's classic, like introverted, like band nerd in the basement recording weird songs on the four track. I convinced my little brother to ask for drums for Christmas so I could secretly learn them and record them. My other brother got a keyboard and I was like, let me borrow that. So I ended up doing all this like multi-tracking from a very young age and just have just loved it ever since.
So you were like the billion, like Billie Eilish crew before Billie Eilish.
Oh, without like the producer brother. Yeah. Yeah.
You were the producer and the singer all in one.
I was the OG, like Fostex four track cassette tape.
Yes.
Just showing my age there, but yeah. Yeah.
I can get behind that.
I still have it.
That's amazing. Yeah. I just found some cassettes myself not too long ago. And I'm like, really? I have no way to listen to them. So I'm going to have to buy something, you know, so I can hear what's even on them. It's probably just.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
You know, like Casey Kasem's top 40 mixed down playlist or whatever without his voice on it.
Oh, my God.
I used to record every Saturday morning.
Oh, that's so funny.
So funny.
That's what you had to do, though, to get your own mixtapes, for sure. I remember doing that.
Yep. My sister and I would sit there and just go now. Okay, go.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I got like the first like half second of every song is cut off because that's you like hitting the record and play button at the same time. And you just like have to get over it, you know, like you have that first half second is gone. But that's back when songs had introductions, you know, songs don't really have intros anymore.
Nope.
But that's like a whole other discussion.
So if you got your start in music then and splicing up music, what eventually drew you to podcast editing and voiceovers or
income?
Or I don't know, but just income in general.
Yeah. Well, yes. it was an accident. I didn't seek out like, oh, I really want to work on podcasts. I was subbing for a friend who worked at a place. I'm being really vague. So I would sub in for her, which was I don't want to mention who they are because I don't necessarily have a relationship with them anymore, but in a good way. It was an accident, basically, that I got into podcasting, and one thing led to the next, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, do you want to work on this new series? I'm like, sure. But it's for me, it was a whole new way of approaching audio. And recording audio and like editing dialogue is really fun. RX is a lot of fun. So I'm pretty happy with just anything audio related. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm still busting out my guitar and laying down some tracks just for the hell of it. But and I mean, podcasting right now is so big that it's almost impossible to be an engineer and not work on a podcast.
Right.
So
that's why we started our own. So I don't have to work on anybody else's.
Yeah,
just kidding.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's a whole thing that's taking shape, and it'll make you think about audio in a slightly different way, perhaps, which I appreciate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. So, do you have any advice for, you know, the rest of the sound girls out there? Anything you'd like to share?
Just advice?
Just advice in general. Yeah, like don't pee into the wind or, you know, anything really.
Yeah, and I think I'm already on the record saying this, but it's if you don't wait for anybody to make it happen for you, whatever it is that you want to do, you just have to go do it. You know, when I started my series, I had never worked on, I'd never done video production. I had never edited a single video before I made the series. And I wasn't going to wait for some other person or some other company or whomever to make the series that I wanted to see. For me, it was like, okay, well, you want to see this series, then learn how to edit video, learn how to shoot video, learn a little bit about lighting, just whatever you need to learn to make it happen. Just go do it. Don't wait for anybody. That would be my advice.
That's great advice. Thank you so much. We have a question that we ask everybody. What is your go-to beverage? And let's do go-to adult beverage and just go-to regular beverage.
Well, I actually cannot drink adult beverages because I'm highly allergic to alcohol. So, fun fact. Yeah. So I can't drink the fun drinks, but I do love a good kombucha.
Nice. You're the first person, I think, that hasn't said coffee.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
You know what? It probably should have been coffee. Don't think that I'm not, this is dumb, but I pay a stupid amount of money on Phil's coffee, like to buy it, to have it shipped from Oakland, California. I used to live in Berkeley. Where I love Phil's coffee, but it's, I just have to have it. So I spend stupid amounts of money having Phil's coffee shipped in Brooklyn. And it's great. And I figured if I'm not out like buying cocktails, then I could buy some really yummy coffee. I justify it in that way.
I can get
it's a good trade off.
Yeah.
But like at the end of the day, it's going to be kombucha. So morning is coffee, kombucha end of the day.
Nice. Do you have a specific brand of kombucha or do you make your own?
I do not make my own for fear that I will over-ferment and accidentally make too much alcohol and kill myself.
That's wise.
Yeah. Yep. But I like this local company called Pilot Kombucha. They're here in Brooklyn. They combine kombucha and juice.
Nice.
So it's just really refreshing and yummy. But yeah, I like them. Yeah.
Awesome. That was our one personal question. I like to get into everybody's drinks, find out where they're going.
I love it.
And I'm trying to get a coffee sponsorship, to be honest. I want free coffee.
Oh, Phil, make it Phil. Have you had Phil?
I haven't.
Do you even know Phil?
I don't.
Well, do you like this really depends on what kind of coffee you like, and I'm not going to judge because there are some coffee snobs, but I drink them all. But Phil's is a very like rich, flavorful coffee. It's really more of a pour over situation. Like if you go to a Phil's in person, it's a pour over. But you can also get the bags for like a drip coffee. But what kind of coffee do you drink? Like what's your go-to coffee?
I'm an equal opportunity coffee lover.
Okay.
But my normal coffee would just be a nice like French press, bold black coffee. Randomly, I will put like some stevia or something in there depending on the blend.
It's like a treat.
Yeah
It's still like stevia a day,
but yeah, I normally just great. Like it like kick me in the butt kind of coffee, and then I'm in Florida, so anytime I can get my hands on a cafe con leche made by an amazing human Cuban person, I am totally on board with that.
Now, speaking as a former Bay Area resident, I do know Phil's, and I moved to Austin 4 years ago, and let me be honest with you, Jess, Phil's is great. However, I'm not going to say but, because Phil's is great. However, I did not know good coffee until I moved to Austin, Texas, and I had Spokesman coffee, so... So when you come back to Austin, you call me and I'll show you some good coffee, girl. Like, there are some amazing roasteries out here. And I swear by them.
Can I buy it online? I seriously will just buy it.
I think so.
This is amazing.
Spokesman Coffee in Austin, Texas. I think they're shipping now because of COVID. So
I'm going to do it.
Their Colombian roast is my favorite. And they do blonde and medium roast only. They don't do any dark roasts. And they roast in-house. And they have the nerdiest roasting setup I've ever seen. It is.
Yes.
Like, it's awesome to see. And we can get into that another time. But anyway, Spokesman Coffee is amazing.
Wow.
All right, Sound Girls, okay, you heard it here. We've got coffee. We've got kick-ass women. What more do you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jess,
mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for doing this podcast. I love it.
Great talking with you, Jess.
Cool. I don't know how to end this.
That's it. We're going to end it. The Sound Girls' mission is to inspire and empower the next generation of women in audio. Our mission is to create a supportive and inclusive community for women, non-binary people, people of color, and all marginalized groups working in audio and music production, providing the tools, knowledge, and support to further their careers.
Thank you for listening to the Sound Girls podcast. You can find out more information on the website, soundgirls.org.